Thank you. All right. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Hope everybody's having a good day. It is that day that most people dread. We lost an hour, and it shows. me and Brother Russell was talking. I wish I'd just leave it alone. But it's good to see you this morning. And I told Brother Russell, I hate losing the hour, but I like the daylight staying longer. So good trade-off. So we'll make it through. But again, it's good to see everybody. I want to welcome you this morning. Sure hope you've come. Just wanting to worship the Lord today. That's our purpose for being here. I do get a bulletin, of course. A lot of things going on as always. I do remember all of our services. I hope you'll continue to be praying, inviting Sunday school at 10 o'clock. If you don't come to Sunday school, you're missing a blessing. So I want to encourage you to come to Sunday school. So do remember that. Of course, tonight we'll be having services, prayer rooms at 5:45, services at 6. And then on Wednesday night, we have them at 7 o'clock. And then revival, April 4th, 5th, and 6th. Brother Knox will be here. Hope you can come. Hope you'll be praying. Hope you'll be inviting. So we're looking forward to that. And then last of all, and we'll get moving, if you need or know someone that would like a piano, Brother Russell, Miss Wendy have one they'd like to get out of their house. And if you could use it, be glad to open the door and let you carry it out. I told him I've moved a few pianos and I will not. I refuse. I will not move another one. I'll just say thank you and bye. Because my goodness, pianos is, I don't know what they make it out of, but they're heavy. But if you need a piano, just see Brother Russell afterwards. A lot of history in that piano. It came out of the old gospel light. So some of you probably can remember back in those days. So a lot of history in that piano. So if you're interested to see Brother Russell, he'll be glad to help you. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started. Father, we sure love you and sure thankful for another good day. And Lord, just a day of opportunity you've given us, Lord, to be able to come to church, God, just to be around our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we do pray, dear God, Lord, that you just bless this time together, Lord. And God, we sure need to see you. God, I just pray, God, Lord, that you speak to our hearts today as only you can. And God, I know this morning, God, that Lord, if you would speak to hearts, God, and people will obey, God, there'd be a difference made. And Lord, if there would be somebody here today that's lost, Lord, I pray today, God, would be that day of salvation. God, I pray, God, Lord, they would heed that call, Lord. And God, for us that are saved, God, help us, Lord, to look up and know that our redemption is drawing nigh. And Lord, we sure love you. Thank you for all you do. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.
All right, stand up. All right, so grab a hymnal, turn number 116. As far as that piano goes, if you are interested, there is a little caveat. It does have a few little issues that have to be worked on, but it's a free piano, so if you're willing to put a little money into it, it might be something that you might be interested in. It's one of the small spinet, you know what a spinet piano is, the small, doesn't take up a lot of room, so it's, you know, it would be, it's not a huge piano. Me and another person, that was many years ago when I was a lot younger. The handles are made to where two people could probably pick it up. So anyway, it's not hugely heavy, but it's more than I want to deal with. So somebody wants it, you know, it's all yours. All right, so here we go. Number 116. We're going to sing all three verses, Victory in Jesus. So here we go. Let's sing it out.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory, beneath thy cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
All right, turn over to number 58. Number 58. And we'll sing. We'll just do the first and the last one of this one. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross. When I see the blood, he will pass over you. All right, so here we go. On the first and the last verse.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross. Died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear. Yes, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
On the last verse.
Oh, what compassion, oh, boundless love. Jesus hath power, Jesus is true. All who believe are saved from the storm. Oh, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Amen. All right, you can be seated.
Right. I think the ladies' trio is going to sing, so they want to start making their way this way. Thank God for the blood. Amen. It's all about the blood. That's what it's about. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the ladies sing, again, do get your bulletin. A lot of needs this morning. Of course, our country, the world in itself, a lot of things happening. Much to be praying about. Before we get into prayer requests, I do have this. It is a prayer request / something else we'd like to do. Missionary Brother Blaylock, Keith Blaylock, I think his first name, they're in Bulgaria, and they're seeing already somewhere probably between 50 to 100,000 refugees coming into where they're at. And so first of all, pray for them as the ministry there is a great opportunity that's there. But also pray that God just build a hedge about them protection-wise. And this is the request side of it. I always want to keep things as in front of us as I can. Way back before COVID, or rather, we were doing on Sunday night, we were doing our penny marches and everything. We took up, and I don't remember what the bulletin said today, on the back, what was it, $1,600 there. That's we started doing for an outreach to the emergency type of people in our community. We were going to do an outreach, and we probably still will try to do that. But I was going to ask the church this morning if it will be okay if we take that money and then anything else that comes in for this and send it straight to Brother Blaylock to be a help. They're needing things. So these people are coming in with basically their suitcase and that's it. So they need things to help these people physically, but in doing so physically, it gives them a great opportunity to present the ministry, present the gospel. So is that okay? Everybody good? Everybody good? A lot of noddings. Everybody wave. If you're all right, good. I just want to make sure everybody's good. So we'll do that. We'll get that sent off. Just, and if you'd like to give more to that, I'm sure you can see Miss Aretha and tell her what it's for. You need to tell Miss Aretha about that. And so appreciate that. Again, just real quickly, continue to pray for Brother Poplin, of course, as he's recovering. Brother George had a procedure, I think, Thursday. So do continue to pray for him. Everything went well there. He's just recovering. Continue to pray for Brother Hunting, of course. Brother Bill's daughter, Miss Cheryl's going to see her this morning. Continue to pray for her. Brother Derek, as he's going to be having some surgery coming up. Also, remember Revival. Again, do pray for that. So, all right, let's pray, and then the ladies' trio will sing. Father, we sure thankful again, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. As we, Lord, we looked at Wednesday night the purpose of prayer. And God, I just thank you, Lord, that we can come into that throne room this morning, God, and we are needy people. Lord, I just pray again, God, your hand upon our folks, our missionaries, God, the needs that's been mentioned today. And Lord, help the ladies as they sing. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Judge upon his throne, holiness is all around him as he judges sin and wrong. Satan is the old accuser as he stands before the king with his of accusations, all my sins he tries to bring. As he points accusing fingers to where I stand before the throne, then a voice behind me whispers, child, I'm here, you're not alone. That's my Savior, my interceder, and he's standing in my place. As he stands before the Father, he speaks one word, and it is grace. He says, that's my child, he is forgiven. See my hand, sight and feet. With my blood I bought his pardon. That's my child, and he is free. There is now no condemnation unto them who are redeemed. With my blood I bought his pardon. That's my child.
Thank you, ladies. Hey. Hey, man. Boy, if that don't do something for you, I'd be wondering if I was saved. I really would. To think of what God has done for us, that goes right along with our message this morning, as always. It seems like the Lord just puts things together. But what a thought. What a speaking to our heart this morning about what God has done for not just you and I, but for the world this morning. And what a great story. So, all right, take your Bibles this morning to the book of Leviticus. I can't speak. Book of Leviticus, chapter 25 this morning. Preacher, I just thought you said we're just going to look at what God has done for us. Well, we're going to see it. All the way back in this here book of Leviticus. Chapter 25 this morning. If you found your place and you can, you would. Let's stand together out of honor and reverence to the Word of God. The Lord appoints something here in the Old Testament for the nation of Israel, and it was a foreshadow of some great things to come. The Bible says here in Leviticus chapter 25, look with me in verse number 25. Chapter 25, verse 25. The Bible says, if thy brother be waxen poor and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. Then verse 28 will close, but if it be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it until the year of Jubilee, and in Jubilee it shall go out and return unto his possession. We see here God has given a great institute here to the nation of Israel dealing with property, but even more than property, that if a man lost his possession, his nearest kin could buy or redeem that possession back. We're going to look at some things this morning about this redeeming process. And not to let the cat out of the bag too early, but we have a great Redeemer this morning. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We sure thank you, Lord, again for the Bible. Thank you for truth. Thank you for your Spirit. God, I do pray, Lord, for the next few moments, God, you just help our hearts to be still, God, and know that you are God. And, Lord, I just ask you to move amongst us this morning. God, do the work that only you can do. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord, as the lady sung. Lord, that old devil, he sure had a hold upon us. God, everything he said was true. And, God, I'm thankful, though, there was a time and a place in my life, Lord, that the great Redeemer come by our way. And God, we ask you to save us, and you bought us with that precious blood. And now we can stand redeemed. And Lord, I thank you for that precious gift, and we'll praise you for what you do. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You be seated this morning. We're going to show you four things that, according to the word that we see here this morning, found here in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus, about this thought of redeeming back something that was lost, something that was taken away. And probably one of the greatest stories that you can relate to when it comes to that redeeming process is found in the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is a tremendous, tremendous book of the Bible. There's so many beautiful pictures there in the book of Ruth. If you will, turn your Bibles over to the book of Ruth, and we'll sort of give you how that redeeming process works. And it's called that kinsman redeemer is what we find here. And we know, as you're turning, we'll sort of give the story to get you up to place. We know that Naomi and her sons and her husband left that place of bread to go to a place of no bread. And when they get there, the tragedy struck, and Naomi's husband dies, and her two boys dies, and they were married, and she's coming back because to Israel because she can't make it where she's at, basically. And she comes back. She left happy, came back bitter. The Bible talks about her being bitter. And but Ruth made a decision, and what a decision it was back there. To Naomi says, "You go back. Don't come with me. I don't have anything for you. I can't take care of you. I can't give you what you need." But Ruth made that choice that she was going to follow after Naomi, and her God would be her God, and she would go where she would go. And so a great story. And as we get to that place, we find another person that brings into the picture, and that's the person by the name of Boaz. And Boaz, what a great man of God, what a great picture of our Lord Jesus Christ in many ways. Boaz extends that arm of mercy and grace out to her in letting her Ruth take of the field and everything, and just exceedingly it gave beyond what he would to others. And there was a love affair that began to work there, and boy, I love chapter 3. And before we read chapter 4, let me see if I can find that verse real quick. No, verse 16. I've said this before here, but some of you might not have been here when I said this. One of the greatest things I find in the questioning of Ruth and Naomi had plotted, I guess you could say, but it's still in God's divine purpose and plan, because what gets ready to take place here is setting forth what's going to come forward for David in genealogy. But when Naomi tells Ruth, it says, Boaz is going to be down at the threshing floor. And what I want you to do is I want you to go down there tonight when everybody's asleep, and I want you to lay down at Boaz's feet. And she does that, and Boaz wakes in the middle of the night, and there's this woman laying at his feet, and he's like, well, who are you? And so the story sort of starts laying out there, and Boaz just says he would take her basically as his wife if able. And then when Ruth gets up in the morning before everybody rose, Boaz blessed her again with some meal to take back to Naomi. And when Ruth comes in the house, I love what this says. Look at verse 16. And when she, being Ruth, came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? You know, and I don't have time. I won't stay here very long because I got a lot of things I want to get to. What a question. Naomi says to Ruth, who are you? Why would she ask that? This is the question in a little more laid back term. Are you still Ruth? Are you Miss Boaz? Are you still Ruth? Or are you Miss Boaz? She asked that question, who art thou? Because what had taken place was that joining between Boaz and Ruth. And so then we come to chapter 4. We don't have time to read all chapter 3 to get you into the place of here. But in chapter 3, Boaz, as he's talking to Ruth, Boaz knows the only way he can take her is to be that kinsman redeemer. And Boaz says if it can work out, if it'll play in place, that he'll be that redeemer. So after she leaves, the very next day, we find chapter 4 here. It says, then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there. And behold, the kinsman whom Boaz spake came by. See, Boaz knew. The kinsman redeemer, and I don't want to get too far ahead of me on the 4 points there of how it works, but the kinsman redeemer, that first went to, and again, it was a lot about property. If that redeemer, if somebody had lost something and their kinsman redeemer would redeem it, it would go to the first of kin, or the closest of kin. And that's what Boaz is getting ready to talk to. He's getting ready to talk to the man that really was the closest to Naomi and Ruth. So it says in verse 2, and he took, let me go back. Verse 1, it says, they went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there. And behold, the kinsman whom Boaz spake came by, to whom he said, "Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit ye down here." And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, "Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then said Boaz, "What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead unto the inheritance." Verse 6, and the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." Verse 7, now this was the matter in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing for the confirming of all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Verse 8, therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, "Buy it for thee." So he drew off his shoe. So we find here that Boaz goes to the next of kin and says, "Naomi is selling some land, and it comes to you first. And I wanted to let you know it's there. And I wanted to know if you're going to redeem it, if you're going to buy it. But in buying it, you also have to take Ruth in the deal, because you're going to be responsible for her and the generations to come after her." So when the nearest kinsman heard that, he's like, "Nope, I can't do that. It'll mess up everything I've got. So I can't do that." So Boaz, I'm sure, began to grin and said, "Well, if you're not going to do it, then I'm not going to do it." And he takes off his shoe and they make the deal. So we find here a great picture of this redeeming process. Boaz redeemed, bought back Ruth unto his lineage. So there's four things that we find through the book of Leviticus, and also in what we see here. There's four requirements for somebody to be that kinsman redeemer. Real quickly this evening, or this morning, the very first thing is pretty easy. They're called kinsman redeemer. The very first thing in the redeeming process is that person had to be part of the family. They had to be a kinsman. If you didn't belong to that family, you could not buy that property. It belonged to the redeemer, the kinsman of that family. And it went to the closest one first. So that's what we see here taking place here in the book of Ruth. There's redeeming process, and that came to that first one, the closest. But he says, "No, I don't want it." So then it was Boaz's turn, and Boaz says, "I'll do it." But Boaz can only do it because he was a kinsman. He was part of the family. The second thing that had to be done for this process is, okay, we got a kinsman redeemer. Not only did it have to be a kinsman or part of the family, but that person had to be willing. And we find here that the closest there was not willing. He says, "No, I don't want to do that." So the Redeemer had to be willing. So we find Boaz says, "I am willing." So we see that you had to be a kinsman. You had to be willing. The third thing that comes along with this, you had to be able. Here we're talking about money. You had to be physically, financially able to purchase that property or that person back in, as we find here in the book of Ruth. So they had to be a kinsman. They had to be willing. They had to be able. And then the last part of this, not only did they have to be kinsman, not only did they have to be willing, and not only did they have to be able, But when the purchase was done, you had to pay the entire amount. It had to be paid in full. There was no such thing as half redemption. When Boaz says, I'm going to buy that land and I'm going to purchase the right of Ruth, he had to buy every bit of it. So we find here these are four requirements that come in this kinsman redeemer. But then I want to take that and run it into our redeemer. See, those four things that apply to the kinsman redeemer also applies to our kinsman redeemer. And we have the true kinsman redeemer. So just as we find the destitute of Naomi and Ruth, I mean, they were starving. They were poor. They had nobody to turn to. They had nothing to rely on. They were literally living day by day with nothing. This morning, I need to remind you this morning that that is how mankind is today. Man without God this morning, you without Christ this morning, you too would be like Naomi, or you too would be like Ruth, and you would be in that destitute, the depravity of man. Man has nothing to stand upon. Man has nothing that will last. Man has nothing that will take hold. But thank God, just as Boaz said he would be that kinsman redeemer, I'm thankful before God even laid the foundations of this world that God himself put something in action that we too would have a kinsman redeemer, and Jesus Christ is his name, and Jesus Christ is our great Boaz, as we find here in Scripture. So let's go back at those four requirements and throw it around a little bit and look at how that applies to you and I. Again, we needed redeeming. We needed bought back. We needed that help and that hope this morning. So as we look at it this morning, let's go back. The very first thing, you remember what the first requirement was? He had to be part of the family. Well, thank God, John 1. Jesus Christ came to this old world robed in flesh. The word, the Bible says, dwelt among us in that robe of flesh. And thank God, he didn't come back as God himself, but he was God. But to be that redeemer, he had to come and be just like us. See, that kinsman redeemer had to be part of the family. And as Christ came to this world, through that virgin womb, as he took upon himself that robe of flesh, and thank God, he became like you and I, but not, he had no sin. But we find here Jesus Christ is just like us. He could be that kinsman redeemer only because he came and robed himself in flesh. The second thing we find this morning about this kinsman redeemer, again, he had to be a kinsman. The second of all, he had to be willing to redeem. See, the first kinsman, as we found here in the book of Ruth, he says, I'm not willing. And it amazes me, and I don't want to get too far tonight either. This would fall greatly into what we're going to look at tonight. But I'm amazed this morning that Christ would be willing to die, to pay the price for you and I, that we could be redeemed. See, he was a kinsman. He came and was robed in flesh, just like you and I are in flesh. But not only was he in flesh, but he was willing to be that kinsman redeemer. He was willing to purchase what needed to be bought. Friend, this morning, thank God for the kinsman redeemer that we have. Look over in the book of Philippians. We saw in John there how he took on that robe of flesh. Philippians chapter 4. Nope, Philippians chapter 2, sorry. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See, he was willing to be that kinsman. Oh, to know that Christ would come and be willing to leave the portals of heaven to come and walk upon this old sin-cursed world, that he would be that one that was willing to go to that cross and pay the price for mankind. See, we got a great kinsman redeemer this morning. He became a kinsman through his flesh. He was willing to be that one that would purchase. The third thing, remember what the third thing was about that kinsman? First, he had to be kinned. The second thing, he had to be willing. The third thing, anybody remember the third one? He had to be able. Boy, that ought to just make somebody that's saved say, praise the Lord. Listen this morning. Hey, that first kinsman was not willing to do it. But Christ steps in this morning. And listen, I think it also shows, I'll go back to this a little bit. It shows also that, listen, the closest person to you is you. You're not willing nor were you able to buy yourself back. But Christ, our kinsman redeemer, came in the fashion of man, died on a cross. He was willing to go there and die. Why? That he could purchase us. See, he was able to do, as Brother Melvin says all the time, he's able to do exceedingly above anything that we could ask or think. Aren't you glad this morning that we have a God that's able? You go back to the Old Testament, we find him walking all through the Old Testament, killing sheep and goats and all those things with blood, putting on that altar every year as a covering of sin. But thank God, we'll see it tonight, be back tonight. Thank God, our sins that wasn't covered. Our sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have to see that he's able. Look over Romans chapter 5. What a kinsman. He was willing, but thank God he was able. Romans chapter 5 this morning. Romans chapter 5 this morning. Look in verse 18. Romans 5:18 says this, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Who's that? That's the first Adam. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Who's that? The second Adam. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. How? By Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. See, not only this morning was Christ willing to pay the price, Christ was able to pay the price. Oh, friend, today people all over this world are trying to do it on their own and they'll fall short every time because there's only one price that'll soothe the wrath of God, and that's that precious, perfect blood of that Lamb. So our kinsman redeemer, yes, he was made flesh. Yes, he was willing to humble himself and go to that cross. Yes, he died and purchased our salvation through his blood. He was able this morning to pay that price. And then last of all this morning, and thank God for this. Oh, there's people today, and you might be here this morning, you think this way. I don't want to be ugly, but you're thinking wrong. There's a world of people today that think they can lose their salvation. Oh, what a horrible feeling. If we could lose our salvation, there's not a one in here this morning, counting me, that could keep it. We couldn't keep it. But see, because it's all through our kinsman redeemer, because he was willing to put on that flesh and he was willing to die for our sins and he was willing to pay that price, he didn't just buy half of me. He didn't buy just two-thirds of me. Thank God that day when I bowed myself before Christ and I asked God to come into my life and save me, and that blood washed me from all, A-double-L, all my sins, past sins, present sins, future sins. This morning I have been completely bought by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over in Hebrews chapter 1. I'll show you several verses this morning because I want you to understand that when our Redeemer came, He knew that we were desolate. He knew the depravity of man, but He was willing and able to pay the price. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. See what a completeness that Christ has done. Christ came. Christ purchased. Christ ascended. And now He sits at the right hand of the Father, showing the finished work of Calvary. See, we've been totally, 100%. Beside my name written in the blood of Christ, I picture in my mind, paid in full. That's what the kinsman redeemer will do. Look over in the book of 1 John. First John chapter 2 this morning. First John chapter 2 verse 1. Chapter 2 verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Boy, there's a big word there. It's called propitiation. Now, most people this morning, you could probably read that. Some of you might even be able to spell that. But I wonder this morning, how many of you really know what that means? We've studied it before. If you've been with us on Wednesday night or Sunday nights, probably. But let me tell you once again, just to remind you. See, when Adam fell in the garden, sin entered in. And we know that the wages of sin is death. There's a price about sin. God's wrath was kindled against mankind. And for that wrath to be soothed, or that wrath to be taken care of, something, not just something, someone and only one could pay that price. The word propitiation means He has paid or He has soothed the wrath of God. I couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. But as the lady sung a minute ago, when He sees me, He don't see me. He sees my advocate. He sees my propitiation. He sees Jesus Christ, that Christ, that great kinsman redeemer that was able and willing and purchased us through His blood. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Talking about Christ here. First Peter 2, verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For ye were as a sheep going astray, but are now returned into the shepherd and bishop of our souls. That's what the kinsman redeemer has done for you. If you've trusted him, if you've accepted him, look over in Isaiah chapter 44. We'll hit here in one more place and we'll be done this morning. Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44, verse 22. Listen to what God says about the fullness of redemption. The Bible says in verse 22, I, being the Lord, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Amen. What sins you talking about?
Yes,
oh, they've been washed away. The Bible talks about there as far as the east and from the west. They're in that sea, never to be seen again. That's what the Redeemer will do for you. One last place, look over in the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. Look at verse number 13. Our kinsman redeemer saw us in the place that we were, without hope, deprived, on our way to hell. He says, I'm willing and I'm able to purchase you and be your kinsman redeemer. Verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope. That's what I'm looking for, you. Our world is going crazier each day. I'm not here to scare you this morning, but it's a reality. There's people dying, not just in the wars across the sea, but there's people dying all around our world today from different things. Death's a reality. Our world right now is a powder keg just getting ready to explode. There's wars on every hand. Russia's there in Ukraine. We hear it all over the place. Iran shot missiles towards a United States consulate. Didn't hit it, but they fired them. There's things happening right now that China's saying, if you start putting sanctions on us, you'll be sorry. Or if you start giving Taiwan weaponry, you'll be sorry. See, we're on the verge of any moment of total chaos in this world. It's happened before. Our country itself, we can look back through time and see all those wars. But we're on the verge of another war that's done like we've ever seen before. That's a reality of the flesh, to saved and lost. But as I look at the picture of our day and I look at all the things that's happening, I can't help but in my heart and in my soul know that it won't be long now. Just any day, the Lord's coming back. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. See, that's what the kinsman redeemer does. He took Naomi and Ruth and Boaz, purchased them. And in purchasing them, they became one of his. No longer to worry about where the next meal was coming from. Not worried about how they were going to pay the bills. Not worried about what the future holds. Why? Because they were now not just poor and desolate, but now they sat at the king's table. See, friend, this morning, I was 13 years old, vacation Bible school at Friendship Baptist Church in Harmony, North Carolina. I'd heard about it. I'd heard people sing. I'd heard people preach. I'd heard people talk about this kinsman redeemer. Oh, but that day when I realized I was poor and needy, that day when I realized that I was lost and going to hell, my kinsman redeemer, the only one that could do anything, came to where I was. And he put forth his hand because he was willing to purchase me. Oh, that, again, come back tonight, we'll see more of that. Willing to purchase me. Not only was he willing, but he was able. Oh, I've had a lot of promises told me in my life. I've heard people say, I'll do this, preacher. I'll do that, preacher. I'll do this, sir. I'll do that. Oh, bunch of liars. Oh, but Jesus Christ, who cannot lie. He placed forth his hand and he bought me with his precious blood. The only thing that was able to cleanse me, to wash me thoroughly in his precious blood, that I would have no more sin. Preacher, you don't sin? This old body does. It was made after sin. Oh, but thank God there's a new man on the inside. One that's got the heart and soul of God. And I'm glad this morning I can say I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. This morning, we've got a great kinsman redeemer. Would you just ponder again just for a moment and we close. The kinsman redeemer had to be kinned. Thank God Jesus, the Son of God, was willing to come and be robed in flesh and walk upon this old sin-cursed world. Why? For you and I. He was kin. He was also willing. And not only was he willing, but he was able. And not only was he able, but he showed forth the fullness of the power of the cross. I've been redeemed, have you? If you hadn't been redeemed today, it'd be a good day. See, this morning without Christ, you'd be nothing. If you died today without him, you'd go to hell. But thank God because of him and him alone, I've been redeemed. And now I can say I'm an heir to God himself. This morning, are you redeemed? Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. Nobody's going to look around, I hope. Hope is our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed. I hope you'll just listen to God just for a moment. I ask you this morning, do you know that 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 you're saved and on your way to heaven? I'm going to say several would say yes, but do you understand how that happened? It wasn't through baptistries. It wasn't through a prayer. It wasn't through some religion. It wasn't some sacraments. It wasn't some program. It was all through our kinsman redeemer. We were lost. We needed to be purchased. And Christ came in his flesh and was willing to go to the cross. And he was able to die and pay for the wrath, our sins and soothe the wrath of God. There is now no condemnation. To who? To those that have trusted Christ. This morning, as Miss Rhonda begins to play this morning, would you just think for a moment this morning, if you were to die today, and I know the first thing out of your mind is, I'm not planning on dying. Well, guess what? Most of the people that die today didn't plan on dying today. But the fact remains that you are going to die. It might be today. It might be tomorrow. But if the Lord don't come back, everybody in this room is going to die one of these days. But this morning I know. Because he lives, I live. Why? Because he's my kinsman redeemer. I wonder if there'd be somebody here this morning that would be honest with you and God. It's not about me. Would you be honest this morning and say, preacher, I don't know that. I don't know if I died today, I'd truly go to heaven. Maybe you're trusting in your own righteousness. Maybe you're here this morning thinking you're doing something good. There's none good. No, not one. Our sin, our righteousness, the Bible says, is filthy rags. See, we needed help. I needed a kinsman redeemer to purchase me back because I was lost. This morning, if you don't know the Lord, I beg you, would you listen to God today? Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the door. This morning, if you don't know Him, would you come? Maybe you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. But when's the last time you just thank God for what He did for you? Thank God that He was willing to purchase you. Willing to pay that supreme price for something as useless as I am. Brother Russell's going to sing one verse this morning. If you need to come, you come now.
I hear my Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.
Listen.
Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Amen. If you're saved, you know it. If you're not saved, I hope God will just rake you around today. Make you so miserable that you can't even sleep. Why? Because it's that important. Thank you again for being here this morning. Don't forget the prayer requests and all the needs there. Don't forget about services this evening. Hope you'll be back. Don't forget Wednesday night also at 7. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and have a safe afternoon. Father, we love you. We sure are thankful, Lord, for your blessings. Thankful, Lord, that you'd be willing and able to do what you did for somebody like me. God, you are our great kinsman redeemer. Lord, what a picture, what a thought. And God, I pray this morning, God, it'll never get away from us. God, if there be somebody here today, maybe even on the web today that's listening, Lord, I pray today if they're not saved. God, if they're sitting there wherever they are and they're in that place of desolate hopelessness, God, if they would realize there is a kinsman redeemer. And Lord, He's able and He's willing to save them. And Lord, I just ask you this morning, God, to speak to those hearts as only you can. Do the work that only you can do. And Lord, just go with us now. We'll thank you and praise you for all you do. For it's in your precious name we do pray. Amen. God bless you.